Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the first day of August in the year 2018. I am your host, Commander Dan, and also chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the following. Big changes are coming. The Trump rally in Tampa, QAnon and some of the posts, and if time allows, a solo rant. Before we begin, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do take callers later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as brief as possible to allow as many folks to participate as possible. For those that are calling in by phone, you use the *6 function. And for people that are joining us on the internet, you would use the question and answer or Q&A button on your screen. Also, for folks using their computers, I hope they know that they have to click on the little telephone icon in the free conference call box at the top of their screens in order to hear. Sometimes folks think they have a problem with their computers, and it's not. You just got to click on the button. For some reason, the software doesn't automatically link you up for the audio section. We do give a shout-out and a thank-you to our listeners and to those brave souls who actually support us. It's not a huge group, but it certainly is a prolific group, and we sure do appreciate it. Gangster Man, you're going to have to hold on for just a little bit. First of all, Ezekiel 25:14, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom Esau by the hand of my people, Jacob Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith Yahweh El Shaddai. You could back this up by going to the prophet Obadiah. There's only one chapter in Obadiah, so a lot of times people will just tell you the verse, which in this case is verse 18, and you will see that this becomes a double witness to what's eventually going to happen to Edom Esau, and we can see this starting to take form, believe it or not. The people waking up to these people is amazing. That's why the Jews are in an absolute panic right now as to trying to keep a lid on this thing. I saw a post by a woman, seems to be a pretty good intelligent woman and also a scientist, and she was trying to put it out there that nobody should touch the nation called Israel because of the biblical aspects, and she was quoting Bible verses that talk about the curse on those who would curse Israel. Well, Israel's not a country. Nowhere in the Bible is Israel referred to as a country. Now, the 10 northern tribes became a kingdom, but typically it's talking about Israel as a group of people, the descendants of Jacob. So she was trying to add to the fear porn that nobody can touch these so-called Jews and Zionists that reside over in the litter box called It's a Lie. That's how we pronounce it. It's a lie because it is a lie, or Israel because it is hell. Ask the Palestinian people how it is to try to coexist with these folks. They're murderers. So, again, the world is waking up to that. Signs of it everywhere. You can tell because they are pulling out all the stops with the mainstream media. The fake media, the fake news is just pouring out more and more garbage. But that's all to show that, that we're actually having an effect, and that's that's good for us. Psalm 119, verse 114 says, "You are my hiding place," or refuge, you could say that, "and my shield, I hope in your word." How many times are we told the Father's word, and our Father is our refuge, our rock, our protector? There's reference in Psalm 91 to being under his feathers. I've told the story about the firemen that were fighting a big forest fire and came across a bird, an adult bird. Apparently the mother had died in the forest fire. And they went up and they heard a noise. And as they got closer to the bird, the little chicks came out from underneath the wings. So here the mother had taken her wings and put them around her chicks. And she died because of the heat and probably lack of oxygen of the fire. But underneath her wings, her chicks were okay. Perfect example of what Psalm 91 is trying to tell us, that we reside under the protective wings of our Heavenly Father. So we don't fall for the fear porn that the media is putting out there, because they're trying to make us afraid of everything. There's even been garbage coming out of It's a Lie with Netanyahu, the gangster that's over there in charge right now, trying to threaten the world that, you know, they'll use the Samson option, they'll use their ability to shut down the internet. Threat after threat after threat by these imposters. So what does that tell you? What did Shakespeare say? "I think if you protest too loudly." I think you protest too loudly, Mr. Netanyahu. I think you Jews protest too loudly. If you actually possess all this stuff, then what are you so afraid of? So obviously the liars do make war by deception, and so they use their control of the media to try to keep us afraid of them. I say bring it on. Let's bring it on. You guys have all that stuff? Well, then bring it on. We'll get our stuff out. You get your stuff out. We'll see who the last man standing is. How about that? Let's do it that way. We already read the book, and we already know who's going to win. So, you know, take your fear porn and shove it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Here's a quote from the movie A Man in the Iron Mask that was made in 1998. "I would rather die covered in blood than an old man laying in a pool of piss." And they should have said dying and covered in my own blood. It could be died covered in anybody's, huh? It could be my enemy's blood all over me, right? Than an old man dying in a pool of his own piss. So, you know, our people have been told that they should just acquiesce to what's going on. It's better to be red or communist than dead. All this other hokey bull crap coming through the media and through the movies and magazines and whatnot. Our people used to stand by the fact that it's better to die fighting a righteous cause than to live under tyranny. Nowhere did our founding fathers, nowhere in the founding documents, nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to compromise with evil or to go along, to get along. Nowhere does it say that. In fact, it condemns it. It condemns the people that preach it. It condemns the people that actually do it. So, you know, okay, Bubby says here he's sorry for being away for so long. That's okay, buddy. Yeah, health comes first. Family comes first. Anybody has any issues in those two areas, we certainly understand that. And you have to understand something too, folks. So, you know, 19 years ago, when we started this program, we dedicated it to truth, first of all, to be a platform for truth for anybody. It didn't have to be just people that know the identity message. Anybody that had a story to tell or information to get out there, okay, and they weren't being given a chance, then they could come to our radio station and talk. And because of that, we've had thousands of guests over the years that have come here and shared their news items. For instance, the atheist that was a teacher up in New England, and his struggles to stop the Jews from dictating the the policy of the school system and what they would and would not teach. He wrote a book called Trading on Guilt, and the author of that book is Philip Glidden. He came on this radio show several times to talk about the book and his experiences in the teaching system. All right? So he found out just how much power the Jews have, and so he even wrote a whole book about it. He retired, came down here to Florida in the Orlando area. I don't know if he's still around or not, but I have the interviews with him archived on the website. Interesting fellow, lots to inform, but he's an atheist. That doesn't mean he's lying, does it? It doesn't mean that what he has to tell us isn't applicable to what's going on today, does it? Should he have been kept from the broadcast because his theology and his belief system doesn't match up with ours? How many of you have been to a doctor to have something taken care of and the doctor wasn't identity? Did it stop you from getting healed? Did it stop you from trying to get your problem taken care of? I mean, sometimes our people act more like Pharisees than the Pharisees do. It's unbelievable. A couple good quotes here. Disobedience to tyrants is obedience to God. This is a good quote that came out on the cue boards the other night, and it's a quote from John Adams, our first vice president, our second president of the United States. He said here, without the pen of the author of common sense, the sword of Washington would have been raised in vain. Now, what was he saying? The pen, without the pen of the man who wrote what was called common sense. What was common sense back in the day prior to the colonies becoming the States United? Common sense was exactly what the internet has become in this day and age. It was a way for the common man to hear about what was being done to them by the tyranny of King George. It was to excite their sensibilities, to preach liberty, and to get the pastors involved as well. So common sense was broadcast and printed and handed out, and sometimes it was even tacked up on trees. They called them liberty trees for people to come out of their houses and go down and read it. Today we have the internet to do that. So what the author, or John Adams, is saying here, if it wasn't for the pen of common sense and all the other publishers of that type of literature in the day and making it exposed to the general population so they understood what liberty was all about and they understood the tyranny that was being put upon them by the King of England. If they hadn't done that, then George Washington raising his sword in combat with the militia and army of the colonists would have been in vain. Why is that? Because General George S. Patton and General Douglas MacArthur have said, you don't commit the troops until you commit the people. How do you commit the people? They have to be made aware of what's going on. Our people have been completely duped, dumbed down, kept ignorant because of this stranglehold over information through the media. Whether you like Donald Trump or not, Donald Trump is the first president to call out the media as fake news, because that's exactly what they are. All right? You might not think enough good stuff's happening, but take a little checklist and check sometime about all the things that have happened for the first time in the history of this country, especially for the first time in the past 100 years. No president has called out the Federal Reserve. No president has called out the media. No president has called out the treason and the duplicity of groups like the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, and the CIA. These people are gangsters. They were started by gangsters. Alan Dulles, John Foster Dulles, and the Jewish lawyers that were all part of that, and the Jewish money behind them. They were started by gangsters. How could they be anything but gangsters? If you go to my website, PastorDan.net, there's a page called Videos. I did a video, a little short book report, on a book called The Brothers. It only takes about 6 minutes. Go watch that little short video. And if you got enough time, money, and patience, go order the book and read it like I did. The Brothers. John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles and their secret world war. We've been at war with all the other nations of this earth in the name of the Jew, in the name of the corporations, in the name of the banksters. It's time everybody wake up to that. Just read that book and tell me where the author's wrong. I'll give you a free spot on the show. You tell me where the author of the book, The Brothers, is wrong. Okay, you tell me that. I've read the book. I don't see any errors in it myself. Thomas Jefferson said that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. And let's get another one down here, a little further down. This was sent to me, and I have no idea who generated it, but it's very good. It says, never be lukewarm. Who told you that? Oh, Jesus Christ, that's right. Life itself demands passion. He who is indifferent to Yahweh has already forfeited his soul. He who is indifferent to politics has already forfeited his liberty. In America, and we could say any white nation, religion is not mere window dressing, and citizenship is not a spectator sport. Do not allow our common destiny as a whole people, meaning the white race, to just happen without your input. In other words, get off your asses and be part of what's going on in this world. There's an old saying that says, evil prevails when good men do nothing. The scriptures puts it a different way. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Another part of scripture says that Jesus Christ himself, Yahshua HaMashiach, that the lukewarm in his day of coming, the lukewarm would be vomited out of his mouth. That's how bad they taste. That's how much disgust he has for the lukewarm. He wants passion, folks. Passion. And just one more here, and then I'll get on to the call here. From the Jewish Almanac of 1980 on page 3, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. How about that? You know, it wasn't all that many years ago that they made a law over in that bastard nation of Palestine called Itzalai that the official language of Itzalai would furthermore be called Hebrew. Now, why would they make a law like that? Why would they start telling everybody they speak Hebrew when everybody knows they speak Yiddish? And what is Yiddish? Yiddish is ancient German with a few modern words and a few Slavic words thrown in there, but primarily it's ancient German. Now remember, ancient German doesn't sound like modern German, just like Old English doesn't sound like modern English. So, but you can tell it's German in nature. Just like if you listen to a poem being recited in Old English, you would swear it was German. Because the English language comes from German, by the way. So that's our heritage. That's another sign of who we are and everything else. So I'm going to see if Gangster Man has pressed. Okay, Gangster Man, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Did you have a comment or question?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, very good.
Yahweh bless.
Alrighty, very good. Yeah, Yahweh bless to you too. So we've got a whole lot of things going on, folks, and, you know, this is not a time to sit on your duff and not be a part of what's going on. It's a great awakening, and you can tell it's a great awakening because the enemy is going completely berserk right now. The mainstream media has probably the dumbest anchors and news people I've ever seen on Earth representing them right now. CNN and all the rest of the fake news, they're complete idiots. But here's the good news. They're no longer hiding. Okay, it's almost like Yahweh said in Scripture that he would put a hook in their jaw and pull them out ahead of time. So they're panicking. They're trying to make their move now for the total communist takeover of the white nations of this world. Okay, so they're, especially here in the United States, because we're the biggest domino they have to conquer because we still have our guns. Every other white nation has turned into cucks and allowed their governments to disarm them. You guys are warriors, not cucks. How in the world did you ever allow your governments to disarm you? It's time the white man stand up for himself. It's time for the white man to say that I am ruled over by Yahweh and not a bunch of misfits in Parliament or in a Congress. All right, our founding fathers even said that any law that's made by a group of people that is counter to God's law is no law at all. The great jurist William Blackstone said that. Blackstone's commentaries used to be taught in our law schools. Why don't they teach it today? Because of things like that. They want you to believe that these cretins in government positions are allowed to step on our God-given rights, and that we have to be good little serfs and slaves to whatever their dictates are. They can go to hell. They can go to hell. We white people need to come back together as a group, as a family, and we need to uphold our Heavenly Father and His law. When you allow groups of people to circumvent our Heavenly Father, you have made them your new God. That's idolatry, people. What does the Scripture say about those who commit idolatry? It's not pleasant, and it's not good. I'll tell you that much. We got to get our heads out of our backsides and start thinking clearly and focus on our Heavenly Father. Here's the good news. Now, they want you to be afraid. What does it say? What does it say in the book about those who are of Yahweh? It says what? It says they are invincible. One with Yahweh is a majority. One with Yahweh is invincible. Another verse says it a different way. If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? That's why the enemy must keep you afraid. They are petrified that we ever come back together as a family, a racial family, and uphold God's law and return to Him with our allegiance instead of these cretins and these misfits and these perverts occupy the seats of government today. They are not of the Father. They don't pass the test. Or as some people say, they don't pass the smell test. We got another caller here. Kyle, welcome to the program. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, what's going on, Pastor Dan?
Hi.
Hi.
Doing good.
That's awesome. What was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's your opinion on Saddam Hussein?
He was murdered. He was an asset of the CIA and the intelligence agencies of America. They gave him all of his money, all of his equipment, set him up as a basically like a dictator because he was killing Serbs. And he was killing other people over in that area, which they wanted at that time, when they set them up, that was a good thing to them, and so they financed him and they put him in power. But the problem was that he wanted to start his own banking system and have his own gold-backed currency and start doing business in other than U.S. dollars, and they weren't going to allow that to happen. And so they murdered it. Saddam Hussein really wasn't all that bad of a guy. From everything I've heard from people that have been over there, he actually had, you could own any weapon you wanted over there, okay? But if you were a spy or an insurgent, they would execute you, like any country would do. But, you know, that doesn't mean he was bad to his own people. He wasn't. He was trying to take the resources of Iraq and give it to the people. And as far as, what was the country he invaded? I can't think of it right now.
Libya?
No. The territory that he invaded.
Iran.
No.
No?
The small country. Kuwait? Is it Kuwait?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, Kuwait. You have to understand, Kuwait belonged to Iraq. It'd be like somebody coming in and claiming Alaska. All right, that was theirs. And our ambassador to Iraq gave him a wink and a nod when he told the ambassador that they were going to invade Kuwait to take it back because that oil and that land belonged to them. Our ambassador basically said, well, that's your business. We're not going to get involved. And as soon as he invaded, we turned right around and painted him like he was a devil, attacking for no good reason. Nobody knew it was coming. And it typical lies, just like they lied about Pearl Harbor. They lied about the Lusitania. They lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And on and on and on. It's constant lies. It's just unbelievable. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
All righty.
All right. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.
All right, very good question. A lot of people don't understand about the Middle East and the fact that all these wars are bankers' wars, wars for these Jews. When you say banker, international bankers, you're talking about Jews, just like in the United States, the Federal Reserve always has a Jew sitting in it as a chairman. How is that possible? If everything is equal, and they're only 2% of the population, how is it that a Jew always ends up in the Federal Reserve? You know what they'll tell you? You'll actually have talking heads on the boob tube try to tell you that's because Jews are smarter than everybody else and better with money. Is that not rich? Is that not funny? The Jews are smarter and better with money? How about the Jews are criminals and gangsters? That's how they do it. That'd be like saying that Bugsy Siegel and Mo Green and up in Chicago, Al Capone, they all got to be where they were because they were smarter and better with money than everybody else. Nobody's going to believe that. That's a joke. They got to where they were because they were terrorists and murderers and thieves. And that's how the Jews do it on a worldwide basis. So this whole nonsense that Jews are smarter than us, no, they're not. I'm going to ask everybody to do the same thing I used to do when I got told that stuff back 30 years ago. Take a look at the Jews you actually work with. Don't listen to the propaganda. What about the Jews you actually work with? You see, Yahweh blessed me because I worked in an industry that has probably the top 2% of engineers and technical people in it, because it's very sophisticated. There's a lot of computers, a lot of computer programs, a lot of digital equipment, a lot of control systems, and you can't just be some old dummy and work on this stuff. The same thing when I was in the Air Force. It was in the top 2% of the electronics field where I worked in the Air Force. So I got to see the best of the best in maintenance. And so there were some Jews in the power industry. Okay? There were some Jews, but I'm going to tell you something. They weren't the sharpest tools in the shed. They were no better than anybody else. In fact, in many cases, they weren't as sharp as our guys were. But here's where a Jew and sometimes these other non-whites, like these Indians that come over here, and they get put in charge of projects and made vice presidents and project managers and all that stuff. What they're good at is that they take credit for what the Anglo guys are doing. I saw it happen time and time again. Every time things are going good out in the field because the Anglo guys are writing the procedures and fixing the problems and troubleshooting the systems and getting together with the union guys and putting everything in there and solving all those headaches of construction, well, they sit in the boardrooms and they take credit. They'll take the credit for it. And as soon as there's a problem, they start pointing fingers at everybody else. That's what Jews and Indians do. They point fingers at all the Anglos that are out there getting the job done and say it's their fault. They won't say it's my fault, but they'll sit there and take credit for it. So everybody says, well, they're such good leaders. Really? Well, if you give me the job as a project manager and I'm allowed to take the credit for everything that goes right, and every time something goes wrong, I can blame somebody else, I guess I can look pretty damn smart too, can't I? So, okay. Gangster Man, you're back on. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, dude. I was just listening in and I heard a bunch of, like, I have kids, so I have to speak, and I heard, like, some inappropriate sounds. I didn't really know where they were coming from.
Well, they weren't coming from here, because everybody's muted.
No, just a second ago, I heard some screaming.
Well, I didn't hear it, so if anybody else heard it, would they let me know? Because as far as I know, I didn't hear it, and if anybody else heard it, then let me know. But thanks for letting us know. We'll keep an eye on it.
All right, no problem. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless. So the latest posts of that are coming out right now, like I said, are showing that the white hats, good guys, alliance, whatever term you want to use for it, looks like there's something going to happen here very, very soon. And again, it doesn't mean to lower your guard, folks. Until this war is over and Christ is crowned as king and sitting on his throne, we have to consider that we're at war at all times. All right? It doesn't mean you can just sit back on your haunches that because Trump's president or you think there's a good group of military or whatever, that you can just go back to sleep. No, we got into the trouble we did in this country and every other white nation because we've been asleep. How dare you think that you can go back to sleep? No. Our founding fathers said freedom requires what? Eternal vigilance. Liberty requires what? Eternal vigilance. Which means you do not have the right to disassociate yourself with politics and what goes on in the country. Just the opposite. And the Bible teaches the same thing. You are to be involved at all times. You are to keep an eye on these people. That's why George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, when they came out of the convention center in Philadelphia, and they said, what did you give us? We have given you a republic if you can keep it. How many people paid attention? We've given you a republic if you can keep it. Unfortunately, we don't. I'm getting some messages here, so bear with me for just a second. Okay, I think, Miss Tina, you might be right. And let's see, I'm looking at the studio of Jimmy up there in Tampa, by the way, is co-broadcasting the show over his network, and he's got one hell of a studio up there in Tampa. So kudos and shout out to Jimmy. He's with Bank versus You, and Versus is just VS, bankversusutv.com. And shout out to them. Good works. Everybody's starting to work together. By the way, I got an email sent to me about a new site. I don't know how long it's been up, but it's new to me. And I've been in this an awful long time, so it's rare that somebody sends me something I haven't seen before. But there's a website that's run by a gentleman very similar to Pastor Blanchard that I had on a week or so ago. He is a former Christian preacher who's now teaching identity. And he's got a website called truth-over-tradition.com. So again, that's truth-over-tradition.com. Another website that I was informed about by some of our listeners out there is Christian Identity Ministries. That's all together. No spaces, no special characters, nothing. Just ChristianIdentityMinistries.com. And of course, Pastor Blanchard told us about his website and where he offers the course, 7 books that'll take you through the entire Bible and this message, teaching the biblical truths versus the lies. And his website is Your Biblical Heritage. And that's all together, no spaces, no special characters, yourbiblicalheritage.com. So here again, us working together as a team, as a family, is accomplishing the things that Father wanted us to do, okay? Kyle put it up in the chat room for the folks that are listening live right now. Thank you, Kyle, for that URL link. So, you know, again, if we put Yahweh's commandments into action, then we get results. That's the bottom line, all right? The enemy wants us to sit around afraid. He wants us to sit around and bicker and fight with one another, and that allows him to get away with what he's doing. The truth does cut like a double-edged sword, and that's exactly what the Bible says about Christ, doesn't it? He says it comes back with a double-edged sword from his mouth. From his mouth. A double-edged sword proceeding from his mouth. Could it be words of truth? Could it be words of condemnation against the wicked? Could it be? You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day when I was discussing this topic with a few of my friends. You know, the scripture says that Yeshua, he's coming back as Messiah. And what does Messiah mean? Messiah is the ancient Hebrew, but in the Greek language it was Christos. That's where we get the word Christ. It is the English transliteration of Christos. So, Jesus Christos.
Hello, mate. Can you hear me?
Jesus the Christ. Okay? So, these two words, Messiah and Christos, mean the same thing. They mean an anointing. Now, his name in the Hebrew, Yeshua, is the equivalent to English today's Joshua. Not Jesus. Joshua. Now, he had the name Joshua, and I'm here to tell you, there were a lot of people of our race walking around with the name Joshua, just like there is today. So how did they differentiate our Joshua from the other Joshuas? They called him Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed one. Okay? So when he comes again, he's coming as what? The Christos, the anointed one. Now when somebody has the anointing, how do you know it? I'm just asking this because that event is about to come to us on this earth. That event is going to come forth at the end of the age here when this everything is set right again. How are you going to know our Yeshua when he comes? Have you ever thought about that? How are you going to see the anointing? Now, here's why I'm asking that, because I was reading the story of the apostles and Christ earlier today again, and it dawned on me that at different times, the Christ asked his own apostles, his own disciples, who am I? Sometimes they couldn't answer him correctly, could they? And yet they were walking with him all that time. Isn't that kind of odd? Have you ever thought about that? He's asking them, who do they say I am? So obviously the people he was talking to weren't quite sure who he was. And yet he is the anointed of Yahweh. Have you ever wondered if at this present time, if he comes back, are you going to recognize him? Will you recognize the anointing? Or will you be like the doubters, like Thomas, at one time like Peter? Will you be doubters, like many of the biblical characters, the folks in the days of Christ? Will you be doubters like them? Do you think that's why Christ said, will I find faith upon the earth? Will I find white men and women who could discern the Holy Spirit? Will I find white people that even give a damn about the truth when I come back? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever wondered whether you have that ability or not? If Christ was standing right in front of you, he's going to look like any other man, just like he did the first time. What sets him apart? What allows you to be one of his? Okay? What is the difference? And will you be able to tell or not? Interesting thought. Kyle, you're back on. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah. So what do you make of North Korea?
It's a nothing burger. Why?
Oh, I was just going to ask because I was watching something on Kim Il-sung yesterday, and he was saying a lot of stuff about Israel, stuff like that. So I was just wondering if you knew about anything like that.
Are you talking about the leader of South Korea or North Korea?
North Korea. Not the current one.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Well, North Korea is a nothing burger because they took the control of North Korea away from the intelligence agencies of the United States. So now it's back in the hands of actual Koreans who don't want anything to do with any kind of nuclear power or nuclear war. Okay?
Right.
Any other question? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Do you know of a guy named, Grimu Ambiff, or Dith, or something?
That's Wales Forever in Welsh, and it's Cymru Ambiff.
Oh, right. Do you know a guy by that name?
Yeah, I know somebody by that name, yeah.
Right, yeah.
What about it?
Yeah, he was just, I was talking to him, and yeah, he seems like a all right guy, but he was getting quite aggressive with me. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I can't make any comment on that. I have no idea. I didn't see it, so. Our people tend to be passionate people, and it's difficult for us sometimes to be able to have discourse with each other and maintain a level playing field and to maintain our composure. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's why the Bible tells us to learn line upon line and precept upon precept. Right? You put your heads together and you figure out a thing. It's the glory of God to hide a matter, and it's the honor of kings to search it out. So, but anyway, thanks
right.
for the comment.
Yeah, no problem. Yahweh
Alrighty.
Bless.
Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, where was I here? Let's get back to what I was talking about. There's going to be a meeting, and I'm not going to give any details of it, but some of the men of Israel are going to get together here, and I'm talking Jacob, Israel, this weekend, and we are praying for some very big things to come out of that meeting. And so I would ask that our prayer warriors, our Radamanthine men, our Gideon men out there, and you ladies too, but the warriors need to start coming together. And you're going to find out why here pretty soon. So I hope you're taking this stuff serious. I really do. If you don't see it now, you never will. This nation, this world is divided, but this nation is a microcosm of the entire earth. The left is becoming more and more insane, more and more satanic. Just like Scripture says, they know their time is short, so their anger is great. The adversary, Satan, Diablos in the Greek. All right? So there is a great battle coming between the good and the evil. The Dead Sea Scrolls refer to it as the battle between the children of light, which is a good conscience and godlike attitude. That's considered light, to be informed and of knowledge, versus the children of darkness, which you can see it on the other side. I mean, everything about them is dark. Their expressions, the way they speak, the things they think are important, how they denigrate everything, okay? So with all that coming, and the Scripture tells you that this war is coming, that, again, the Dead Sea Scrolls allude to it, the prophets alluded to it, and we don't know the exact timing of the coming of the Christ. So anybody out there that thinks that this battle's his battle? Well, wait a minute. You're his sons and daughters. Why the hell would he have to come back if he's left you in charge? Why aren't you taking care of business while he's away? That's why he said, occupy till I return. Occupying is a military term, meaning to maintain control. If you think you're going to be raptured out of this world, then you've got another problem, because there is no rapture. Dispensationalism is a hoax, always has been, perpetrated by Jews that infiltrated the Christian hierarchy and church. So, again, we covered your prayers, because this meeting is an important meeting between the men of Israel, and discussing some of the things that we need to do going forward to bring our house back together. All right, we've had too much division, too much bickering and fighting and everything else, and we need to come back together. We need to put some plans into action for our benefit and for our defense. So the other thing that we need to be aware of is not only the conflict that's rising and this animosity between the two sides that grows by the day. The financial systems in this country are in big, big trouble. They are on the verge of collapse. And as one commentator today was talking about it, the only thing that we can do at this point, the debt is completely unserviceable. It cannot be serviced, all right? There isn't enough money in print, even the digital money. There's not even enough digital money. The fake and the counterfeit money, there's not even enough of that to cover the debt. This is what centralized banking does for you, especially centralized banking in the hands of the nefarious Jews. Okay? So the whole world is now waking up to the fact that these central bankers, these Jews, have led us all into such debt so that they can make their trillions of dollars of profit, that there is no way to service this debt. So the central banks need to be completely destroyed. Just like Andrew Jackson said, destroy them. Destroy them. They are evil. Nothing in the Bible supports centralization of anything, including faith. All right? Including faith. So as this system goes down, they're going to try to put the blame, of course, on the current administration, and they're going to try to get your attention away from their criminality. But you need to stay focused on who the real criminals are, the central bankers. They need to be done away with, all right? Completely done away with. So let me take care of a little matter here. And I've got some messages coming in here. Yeah, Jimmy, in just a second here, buddy, just a second. I'm trying to take care of some stuff. Where are you? Here we go. Okay, Jimmy, our co-host, so to speak, over there in Tampa. Welcome to the program, Jimmy.
Hey, good evening, Dan. I wasn't sure if texting behind the scenes was appropriate. I always try to punch in toward the end of your show and offer you guys a little bit of my passion. And I certainly am praying hard for the meeting that you mentioned this weekend. We will be praying for you guys because we need to get together, like you said, family. I'm honored to be in your family over the course of the recent months. You always have a great show. I did and very much value your emails that you send daily. And with that, maybe shift gears a little bit, and let's talk a little bit about Q, because I don't disbelieve the Q exists. And I really, from my engineering point of view, think Q is back to what you said about, an engineering group. So do you want to elaborate a little bit on Q for our listeners?
Well, it's I had a friend of mine ask me the same question here, and this is the best thing I can do. This goes back to in 2010. There was a Scotsman who had put out a letter talking about the last line of defense for the United States was going to be a military coup because the political system had failed. The banking system, of course, is corrupt. And so he gave his military training background into this article, and he wanted to basically write this white paper why he felt the last line of defense would be the military, if for no other reason than self-defense. Okay, self-defense. I thought that was a great letter. I sent it out, and I didn't know it, but one of the men on my email list, and again, this was almost 8 years ago, was a retiree from military intelligence, and he sent me back an email and asked me if we could talk. And I said, well, I'd be honored to talk about this white paper. And so some months or so went by, and he called me back, and he said, Dan, I got that letter about a military coup in the United States. I have to ask you about that. I said, well, sure. So we spent about a half hour talking about what I envisioned it to be, and he kept stressing, would the American people support a military coup? And at the end of it, I said the real Americans, the red-blooded Americans, would support anybody who could make a difference because the system's broke and we're dying. That's what I told him. So here we are 8 years later, and I see, well, actually 7 years later when the Q thing started, we see that with the election of Donald Trump, we see a military presence in Washington, D.C., like we haven't seen in a very, very long time, if ever. And you see Donald Trump honoring the military and putting top military people in sensitive positions. Shortly after all this happens, we have this thing called Q. And we don't know who Q is, whether it's an individual or a group of people that are part of his administration. But Q, I'm pretty sure, stands for the Civilian security clearance, that's the top clearance, all right, Q. In the military, it's called top secret. But in the civilian world, it's called a Q clearance. And I know that because in the Air Force, I had a top secret clearance, and in the Department of Energy, I had an L clearance because they did not want to spend the money to get me the Q clearance my boss wanted me to have. That's all. They said an L clearance was good enough, and they weren't going to spend the thousands of dollars extra to get me the Q. I could have gotten it, but they didn't want to spend the money. So I'm familiar with Q, L, civilian clearances. I'm also very familiar with the secret and top secret military clearances. So as soon as I saw Q, that told me that whoever this is has a very high security clearance, and that's what we're supposed to get from that. So this group, I think it's a group, this group is starting to put forth these little texts with the Socratic method, which is basically asking questions. Instead of actually dropping internal intelligence to us, they're asking us questions and expect us to figure it out. And
just like you stated earlier, the kings need to come together and figure it out. And real quick, sorry to interrupt, but if we're in the interest of dialogue, do you think Q and the term quiet have any assembly?
No. My personal opinion is no. The Q has to do with that clearance. In other words, they're trying to infer that these people have a high enough security clearance that they're actually in the same room with the president at different times. That's why some of the pictures that are sent to us show his desk, or they'll show his signature on a piece of paper, or it'll be something else that only could be taken from somebody in the actual Oval Office and in the office of the president, all right? And a lot of these what they call Q drops or Q posts, I've been watching them for some time, and I listen every day to at least three different people that analyze these posts. And he has been, or they have been, on the money for a lot of things going on. For instance, we were just asked about North Korea. The people on the Q posts told us, don't worry about North Korea. That's the deep state and the fake news trying to keep us on the edge of war with North Korea. Don't worry about it. North Korea has already been taken care of. There's been an agreement. There is no problem. And everything that you're going to see when Trump went over there is window dressing. And that's exactly what happened. Exactly.
I fully agree. That deal was worked out far before the visit.
Yes.
And the fact that that we are receiving remains and dog tags and things like that. And real quick, too, you know, I have not been in broadcasting as long as you have, but one of the major things in my soul has always been, where are the white hats? And it dawned on me about 10 years ago, wait a minute, Jim, you are one of the white hats. And I am so honored to have assimilated with so many people, great people, especially in the last 4.5 years with Bank versus UTV, which is how you and I eventually met and your constituents. And it is time, and I do fully, I'm not saying I believe or disbelieve. I think Q is a real information channel. And as I have stated on air and maybe shared in some emails with folks, there are a lot of people that are trying to capitalize on the QAnon movement. And my recommendation is, first of all, my opinion is the Q, the real Q is real. And we need to be very careful to not be distracted by those trying to capitalize or skew us away from the real QAnon movement. And again, I aired the video that you shared with me on our air, and I found that very, very informative and very palatable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And let me just throw this. We got a couple callers I'm going to have join us here, Jimmy, in just a second. But let me share this real quick. Q came out with a verification that the rumors about an attempt to shoot down Air Force One when it was coming back from the summit overseas, and President Trump was on that plane, there was a missile fired from a submarine, and the United States Air Force shot it down. I'm assuming they had an idea this was going to happen, and they were ready for it, so they had anti-ballistic missile hardware on these fighters. So there was an attempt to assassinate our president already, and our military stopped it. And President Trump
I did
is not
receive
alone.
credible yeah. information on that as well, sir. Go ahead.
Right. So the point of it is President Trump's not alone. President Trump would not have taken this job on, I'll guarantee you, unless he had a very strong military that he could trust presence that was behind this. So this is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump has agreed to be the face. This is the actual Patriots of America, which includes you and me and everybody that's part of the QAnon movement, because they're the ones who are concerned enough to bother trying to figure all this out. The rest of these people aren't. That's why President Trump calls them the Patriots, and the people who are putting out the Q post calls the 8chan and the Anons that are figuring out what these posts mean, he calls them the Gold Star Patriots, okay, because they're part of them. They are the common sense. I read that quote at the beginning of the program. They are the pen of Thomas Paine, who wrote Common Sense. That's what the Q and the QAnon and the boards are today, what Thomas Paine and Common Sense and the Liberty Trees were back in the 1770s before the war for independence. We have a new war for independence going on right now against this cabal that has a death grip on us. And that's where we're at. And that's what the Q's all about. So let me bring a couple callers on here, Jimmy. So hang on, buddy.
Sure.
Okay, Henry, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, it's Henry. How you doing?
Very good, sir.
Hey, I was actually going to call in on Q just a few moments before Jimmy did. So when he did, I figured I'd jump in a little bit here. I know you talk quite a bit about the QAnon thing, and I try to follow it. Although I know I don't follow it nearly as closely as you do. A couple of the sites that I've gone to, the SGT report, X22. By the way, SGT was taken down. Are you aware of that?
Right, and it's back up.
Oh, it is back up. Okay.
Yes.
I'm not. I guess I'm kind of like Jimmy. I think you've even echoed this as well. I'm not 100% sold on whether or not it's totally legit or not. You're probably leaning more that it is than I am. I'm not. Again, I want to believe it. I certainly want to believe it. Who wouldn't in his right mind? There's a little bit of skepticism on my part that it's a possible psyop. What do you think about that? That it could possibly be another psyop? Just messing with us.
Well, here's what I've told people, okay? Every news source that I listen to, and that includes X22, SGT Report, Colonel Roy Potter, and Praying Medic, Just Informed Talk, In Pursuit of Truth, I consider them all very good. But here's the thing. I don't consider any source to be 100% accurate. Because, first of all, they're people. They can make mistakes. Q can make mistakes as well. But what I think is happening is that somebody in the administration is trying to bring the people up to speed about what's happening behind closed doors,
right,
for the exact same reason that John Adams said that if it weren't for the pen of the Patriots in his day with Common Sense, if it weren't for that, then the efforts to militarily take this country back would be in vain, because the people would actually rise up and try to stop you, because they don't understand that treason has taken over this country.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I look at it as an awakening. I'm not saying Q's 100% accurate. I've never said that. What Q is doing, though, is raising the consciousness of the average Americans, and I'm talking about 15%. That's all you're ever going to get, maybe 15-20% at best.
Right. Yep.
All right? Get the 15-20% of the movers and shakers on board with what's going on. The rest of them are either on the left, which is our enemy, or they're in the middle of the bell curve, which means they're rocks, and they're not going to do a damn thing for you or against you. They just take up space. All right?
So we're dealing
with the bell curve, and what Q is doing is trying to wake up the bell curve on the right-hand side of the equation to what's going on, so that they at least know when the panic sets in amongst the people that there's at least 15% who know what the hell's going on, which is very similar to what the judges and the leaders of ancient Israel did for the average Israelite, because the average Israelite didn't know a damn thing about world events and what's going on. They relied on Joshua and Abraham and Moses and, you know, King David and Solomon and leaders like that. So, you know, I look at it that way.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan,
I hear you.
Dan, can I weigh in?
Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
It's not that I don't believe. I caution people because we have affixed a label to something that I have got to know in my heart and soul does exist. And that label has become Q and the various sub-labels, QAnon, this, that, and the other. And I think what I was trying to send a message out to your listeners, Dan, and others, and Henry, thanks for joining us, is to be careful, because if I have the magic elixir, there are going to be other folks. Actually, if we have the magic elixir, there are going to be other folks that try to capitalize on that, and Satan will try to capitalize on that to sway those that are listening to us into the fact that it's another psyop. There are people that are going to psyop us, and actually it is it's a good psyop, because it is coded. And if you are aware, I had two reporters and one friend from Central Command attend the event last night. Pastor Dan, I sent you some live photos of said. And it was obvious to these three that I talked to, Dan, after you sent me that email or that video, they're like, Jimmy, Q was here.
Right.
And it wasn't that they could put their hand on a man or a woman's shoulder. It was the business plan, if you will, of Q. So in clarity, what I'm saying, or in summary, there's definitely a white hat consciousness, and I feel that it has been labeled Q. And I just caution people to make sure that if you're buying real garlic, you're not buying fake garlic. Okay, does that make sense? Okay,
right.
I yield. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, well, here again, and you're making an excellent point, and it's backed up by Scripture. In the Scriptures, we're told to accept all things and keep that which is good, which means to have an open mind, to take these various news sources, and this includes the QAnon posts, and to sift them through your filters, which is what? Your intellect, your life's experience, these other news agencies and what they're saying, and the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Those are your filters. And if what you're hearing can pass the smell test of your filters, then the odds are it's okay. But you still have to test everything, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, here's the one aspect of it. And again, I don't follow it nearly as close as you and a lot of others. And I give credit to those that are, and to those that are hijacking it, shame on you. But The one aspect of it that troubles me from my perspective, and again, my perspective is not one who follows this super closely, but when I have, the tendency that I seem to come away with from some of these people, not all of them, is, and correct me if, or try to educate me if you can when I, after I say this, what I come away with is this general feeling that I'll pay attention to a few of them. They put up these videos, they analyze the post, and they do their best to try to, you know, decode it and figure out what they're trying to tell us. And they typically, the ones that I've watched anyway, typically at the end you'll get some kind of a summary of what the post was about, and they'll say something to the effect that, okay, we'll start expecting to see some of these sealed indictments, some of these people start to roll on some of these sealed indictments in the next month. And then the next thing you know, 2 or 3 months is going by, and I'm still waiting to see some of these big mothers hanging by the end of a rope, or at least see some people in striped pajamas and going to prison, and you still haven't seen any of that. And it's not that I'm impatient, and it might be that I'm listening to the wrong people, and it might be that they don't know exactly what the timetable or the time frame is when this is actually going to go down. But from the casual casual follower's perspective, like myself, that's what opens me up to even suggest the idea that it could, you know, possibly some of these people, it is a PSYOP or it could be a PSYOP, because it just, you never see any results, and we're all waiting for.
Hey, Dan, can I feel that real quick? I am not a master chess player, but I am a damn good chess player. And I have been in certain games, especially with my older brother as a younger man, where I thought I had checkmate was imminent. And
right, okay. Good
well,
point.
You
I
see what I'm
going.
Saying? Yeah, so
yeah,
it's not...
Exactly
it, well, okay, yep. So I won't even take up Dan's airtime. It's we have to be patient.
Yep.
And we have to be vigilant, and I seriously equate this to
yep.
the chess game. Okay, I
that's
yield,
right.
Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, well, let me just caution, you know, you guys are bringing up good points, and you're certainly not the only people to say these things. Here's what I caution people about. Whether Q is a complete PSYOP or it's 100% legitimate, it doesn't change who we are and what we should be doing on a daily basis. Every day, I make preparations to go forward as if Q is a complete PSYOP. But that doesn't mean at the same time I'm not hopeful that it's true, and I'm making preparations to jump in and side with the White Hats when they decide to take this country back. I'm preparing for both. I'm preparing for both.
I know you've always said that. You've always said it like that as well, and I agree with that. Kind of prepare for it to be a PSYOP in case that it is, and if it's not, and if it is legit, amen. You know,
here's what I was told when I was a young man. A good Boy Scout prepares for the worst.
Yep.
So in this case, the worst is that it's a complete PSYOP and we're being played for fools. Okay,
right.
Well then that's what we prepare for. And then if it turns out it's right, then all those preparations could be thrown right over onto the White Hat side, and let's help take these communists and shoot every single one of them.
Yep,
put every
absolutely.
One of them in the ground where they belong, all right? So
right. That's
my point. We have to use common sense. We have to be prepared for both scenarios, and a good Boy Scout has to be fundamentally prepared for the worst-case scenario. But that doesn't mean, it's just like the generals, like MacArthur and Patton would say, a good soldier prepares for war and he prays for peace. I'm a good soldier. I'm
Roger
preparing
that.
For war with my enemies. It might even happen tonight. I'm preparing for war with my enemies, but I'm praying for peace. That's all. Q to me represents a peaceful way out of this. If enough good Americans get off their ass and get involved and force the issue that these criminals come to justice. If enough of us do that, we will have a peaceful revolution. But I'm also preparing for the fact that it might not be so peaceful. And we got another caller, so let me bring them into the conversation. Okay, Mr. Kumru and Biff, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Dan?
Hi. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I just wanted to join the conversation. I have a feeling that, hang on, let me pull up his name. Henry is a troll?
No, Henry's not a troll.
From what I can see?
No.
Are you sure?
Anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay. And we've got,
goodness, Dan. Yeah.
Tony, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or question? Hello?
Hello?
You put a marker up that you had a comment or question, do you? All right. So it looks like we got some trolls. Okay, we're back to us three on the conversation here.
Hey, Pastor Dan, again, I haven't been doing broadcasting as long as you have, but I've been doing it for a number of years, and one of my famous cliches when I get calls like that is, you know what, brother, if we're taking flack, we're over the target.
Yeah. Well, these guys came in from a different board. They were told about the broadcast, and they've done this sort of thing over there. And sometimes I don't catch what they sign in under. Sometimes I do. But it doesn't take very long to figure out what's going on. So, Henry, you're unmuted if you still had more comments to make.
No, I'll keep rolling along. If I have something, I'll chirp in. But
okay.
And if somebody else calls in, just cut me right off.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll go ahead and leave you open in case you want to jump in. Just remember your mic's hot, okay?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay, very good. But the main thing that people have to understand is, and these military guys did talk this over with me 8 years ago, so this does make perfect sense to me in a sense. Okay, let's put yourself, as the Bible says, walk in another man's shoes, okay? Let's say that you're President Trump, okay? You've been elected, duly elected. There were enough good guys. Now, let's face it, there has to be a small army of good guys to stop these communists from rigging the election for Hillary. So there has to be some kind of a team that knows how the bad guys do it and was able to stop that. That's the only way Trump could get in there. So you're Trump, you're a patriot, you're not a perfect guy, don't get me wrong. Has Trump done things that he's probably should have to pay for? Probably so. But he is the only businessman with that much money that was willing to take the job. So he takes the job, he's an outsider, he's the spokesman for this movement. It's a movement, it's not a man, it's a movement. And the military behind him said, look, we need a face and we need a plan. We've got the plan. We need the face to go with it and to make this look like it's a completely within the system shakeup and tear down of this cabal that has got us in a death grip here. Well, that's exactly how things have played out because, A, you're dealing with people who murder presidents, who bring whole airplanes down in flames to kill two or three people, who brought the buildings in New York down, killing thousands of innocent people. That's who you're dealing with.
Well, can I say something? You know, that what you just said makes so much sense. It for the longest time, ever since he was elected, I've been going back and forth with myself saying, I don't know how he can still be alive, but the way you just explained it, but the fact that this has probably been the plan from before the election through to today.
Exactly.
I think that's what you're saying. That does make sense, because otherwise he'd have been taken out long before now.
Absolutely, so, because he's got military intelligence and good military staff who know how the bad guys do it. And here's what the Q Post put out, some information that I was not aware of. There was a group of people that started this effort within weeks of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Now, how do I know that? Well, for one thing, the very guy who led me into the identity message was a lifelong friend of mine. And he told me that when he was a teenager, his dad was in the FBI. His dad was stationed in the Dallas office.
Wow.
And when President Kennedy was assassinated, he said, my dad resigned. He went to a store and bought a .45 pistol and as much ammo as he could afford. He said he threw all of us into a car and moved us to the wilderness of Missouri on a farm. He said, Dan, we didn't know jack shit about how to grow crops or raise animals on a farm. We were city dwellers. He goes, we almost starved to death. So he said, but he was that afraid by what he saw in Dallas. Now, here's how Yahweh works. He put that information in my path through a very good friend of mine that I've known for a very long time. He told me that story. I asked him, did you ever talk to your dad about what scared him that much? He said, Dan, I was an idiot. I was a typical teenager. I was rebellious. I had long hair. I thought my dad was an idiot for taking us away from Dallas and putting us on a farm in the middle of Missouri. He said, I was angry. And by the time I got smart enough to realize that my dad had information I should probably get, my father had passed away. So he said, I lost that. Now, here, Yahweh usually gives in double witness. What's my other double witness? We've interviewed Dr. Gifford, who's currently in Houston. But guess what? Dr. Gifford was an intern at Parkland Hospital the day John F. Kennedy was brought into the hospital. And guess what? John F. Kennedy was still alive.
I believe it.
Okay? He witnessed the Secret Service at gunpoint come in and take President Kennedy's body out of that hospital while he was still alive. Over the objections of the staff saying that this man is in critical condition and we're trying to save his life, they did not care.
Isn't that the same way they took Patton out? Wasn't he still alive in the hospital as well?
Yes, and he was talking to friends and his wife as if he would be home very soon because he was feeling fine and going to be home, and the next thing you know, he's dead. Yeah, he was poisoned in the hospital. There's no way they wanted somebody like Patton to come home and tell the truth about what he saw over in Germany and France.
No different than Seth Rich.
Same thing with Seth Rich. So, you know, these people, my point of it is, this is something that's culminating that started that far back. Now, here's another aspect of this. So we know there's people inside that know that John F. Kennedy was killed by elements of our intelligence agencies and probably the Mossad. They know that. And they have been working ever since then on trying to figure out how to stop this. Now, here's another little tidbit for you. What happened to all the admirals and generals that were fired and asked to leave ahead of time by the Clintons,
Obama,
the Bushes, and Obama? What do you think happened to them?
They're out there.
Yeah, you know what? They formed an organization. They formed an organization, and I'll be willing to bet you $1,000 right here, right now, that that organization is part of this. What part
and
of
I'll it? Cover I'll cover your bet and double it, and I want to actually include, what about this recent cardiologist, George Bush's cardiologist? That's a very interesting murder that happened, what, about 2 weeks ago, and I got intel from my guys that they supposedly have a suspect in custody, if I may throw that in the blender.
Exactly. Yeah, well, this stuff just continues. It's just amazing to me. But back to back to the point we're trying to make here, is Q for real, are the white hats for real or not? It's actually the same question, because Q is part of the white hats, all right? If there is such a thing, they're part of it. Now, here's what I tell people. All right, you're right. We could be being played. We could be getting set up. But let me ask you a question. If this is a psyop, why was it necessary? All they had to do is keep doing what they were doing and get Hillary in there, and this country's done.
Mm-hmm.
8 more years of treason in the White House by somebody as despicable as Hillary, and this country could never recover.
Dan, it would not have been 8 more years of what we just went through. It would be the progressive scale of total socialist communism. Let's recant real quick. Give me 15 seconds. How many times did Hillary go up there and talk about adult fun camps? Wouldn't it be nice if we all just had adult fun camps? Let's talk about No Child Left Behind. Let's talk about It Takes a Village. I mean, my God. And I want to say this, and I'll yield. I am not suggesting by any stretch of the conversation that I think the Q topic is fake or psyop or anything. My point to the whole matter was, A, to get Dan's input and Henry's and others, but to caution people not to buy the magic elixir called Q and go by the wayside of even to get really basic of the clickbait people that are feeding false information on that. And real quick, too, Sergeant Report, X-22 Report, Hagman & Hagman, John B. Wells, those are all friends of my channel, and I trust them. And I'm glad that John B. Did what I'm going to do, and he went off on his own platform. Ustream messes with me. I've been with them now 5 years. They are Dan, when your show started, Ustream shut me down, and then I had to go through a back channel on a different IP to get us back up. And I'm not sitting here bragging, but our RTMP servers are ready to go. These people can kiss my grits, and we are ready to begin a broadcast year starting here August 1st where they can't mess with us. And I did slip in a little bit of shameless plug there, but I just wanted to clarify, I am not saying Q is fake. I'm just cautioning people to really caution themselves on what they take in as fact.
Right, exactly. We always say err on the side of caution. It doesn't matter what topic we're talking about. And nobody in his right mind is going to tell people to put their caution to the side. No, of course not. We should have our antenna at full up right now. Every one of our warning antennas should be at full up right now. At this time, because if this is a psyop, you and I are in big trouble, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, we are in big, big trouble. So your antenna better be as far up as you can get it right now, every single day, because that's how serious this is.
Counting on your meeting this weekend, Dan. I'm not going to, you know, say who or what because I have no idea.
Right.
But we're going to pray for your gathering this weekend, Dan. And I look forward to reporting to my listeners and hearing from you anything you can share about that. Because that, to me, hearing it from you, that's real. That's real.
Right. And we got a call from Canada. Let me grab it here real quick. Okay, Canada, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I have a statement. Henry, go fuck yourself.
Well, I'm so well liked here. Wow.
Well, I got that one tagged, so if it tries again, it won't get put on the air. So I've got it tagged. I've learned that.
I put that through my asshole filter. And I'll tell you, Dan, I've been in broadcasting not as long as you, But if Henry's a troll, he's a damn good troll, because my spidey senses have never gone up. Henry, why are these people saying that, if I may ask?
I don't know. Dan, remember several months ago, the same thing happened when you were still on EFR. Do you remember that? It seemed like every time I got on your show, somebody was calling me a troll and calling me a Jew and all this other bullshit. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, we don't need to waste another minute on idiots like that.
No, I agree.
Exactly.
I got one other caller. Let me see if it's for real or not, so hang on just a second.
All right,
Tony, you're on. Did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, go fuck.
All right, got that one quick enough. All right.
My goodness,
huh?
Yeah.
We're taking the flak, gentlemen, and that tells me we're over the target.
Hey, Dan, I do want to take this in a slightly different direction with a question. What do you think Vladimir Putin dealt with a similar situation when he first took over in Russia? I would imagine the circumstances were obviously different, but similar in a lot of ways. What do you think about that?
I've been asking about Putin from day one because of the same exact thing that we've got going on with the Q thing. It could be an elaborate psyop, or it could be legitimate. But here's the thing.
I didn't really mean that. I mean, like, when he first took power in Russia, I mean, he had to deal with his own deep state, in a sense,
right,
and with all the oligarchs and whatnot. And I was just suggesting that he had to deal with a similar kind of scenario. And in my opinion, he did a damn good job.
Yeah,
that's my
opinion. And yeah, you're right. In that sense, right, he was walking into an absolute mess. Remember all this stuff coming out by that Jew named Browder. Okay, Browder was a former United States citizen who renounced his citizenship, went over to Russia, and he was part of the gang of Jews over there that were raping and pillaging Russia in their greatest economic downturn, and he became a multi billionaire, okay, at the expense of the Russian people, and Putin had to deal with those kind of people, so. The only thing I know of, I've never in my lifetime seen scenes from Russia where the prime minister and the president of Russia are in churches and out in masses with the people and celebrating the Christ. I've never seen generals in uniform, Russian generals, with the sign of the cross. Now, I'm not advocating Roman Catholicism, but these guys...
Right.
This was never seen in my lifetime in Russia. So, again, you have to trust your senses. You have to look at what's going on. But at the same time, you don't ever lower your guard.
No.
You don't ever lower your guard.
No. But I think it's clear to anybody who's paying attention to world events anyway, that it seems to me that Vladimir Putin is the real deal. You know, I'll yield at this point. I've been on for quite a while. So if Jimmy wants to continue on with you, I'll just listen in.
All right.
Hey, Henry, you know what? I'm curious as to why you're being attacked, but I won't waste Pastor Dan's time. And I also agree. I have distant family that lives in Russia, and I speak to them probably two or three times a month, and they're happy as a pig in the mud on a fall day. There's not the bread lines, there's not the gloom and doom, just like, you know, let me recap on Saddam Hussein. I fully agree with Dan's narrative on that. We paid this guy. Goldman Sachs got upset. The Jew boy, what was his name? The bald hair guy. He just left. Goldstein or Gold something. But at the end of the day, Henry, we're all being attacked, myself included. And I want to ask you to stand tall. And as much as I can tell, you're one of us, and thank you for your gift of time tonight, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
All right, Henry, what I'll do is, if you want, I'll mute you, and then if you want to jump back in, just do the star six. How's that sound?
Yep, okay.
Very good. That way you don't have to worry about if you have to cough, sneeze, or get a bite to eat or whatever, because sometimes people forget their mic's hot and, and all kinds of stuff goes on. So anyway, these are interesting times, my friend. There's no doubt about that. Like I said, either the world is a stage and we're being played for the greatest deception that the world has ever seen on a massive scale, or we're into the Book of Revelation when Mystery Babylon is brought to its knees. Now, here's something that people need to understand, okay? It could go either way, okay? But I'm just going to give you another scenario here. We're told in the Book of Revelation that the beast is destroyed in a very short period of time. Well, if Q is accurate about the things that are about ready to take place, it's certainly going to do that, all right? We're also told that the Mystery Babylon's burning causes a lot of vexation to who? To the merchants and to the government leaders. Now, who are being identified on the Q posts the most? Government leaders and bankers and merchants. All right? So, again, it's Book of Revelation. Now, it says it also that the son of perdition is going to be identified in such a way that the whole world is going to be walking by them as they are bound for punishment, and make this claim. This is who deceived the whole world? Can you imagine the world audience as the Jews, the Mossad, and all of these Jew bankers are rounded up for punishment for what they've done? And the
money
whole world
changer
is going to say, this little group of snarly, paranoid, schizophrenic, frightened, bizarre, evil, deceptive little creatures pulled all this? Yeah, they sure as hell did. It's called control of the money. And with the control of the money, what did they get? Control of industry, control of government, control of broadcasting, control of Hollywood, control of your minds. That's how they did it, because we were sound asleep and there was no way for anybody to wake up people en masse. Many of us have been trying to do it with little leaflets and going to meetings, and we were maybe reaching a tenth of a percent of the population. Maybe. At best. It wasn't until this media came out and the QAnon phenomenon that we've had anything even close to this. And here's the other thing. The Book of Revelation talks about Babylon being brought to its knees and all this other stuff going on. I have never in my life seen as many people outing these creatures called Jews like I've seen today. I've never seen so much of it. It's happening so fast and to so many that it's got them absolutely paranoid.
The rats are leaving the ship, Dan. The rats are leaving the ship. The problem with that is, I'm going to retract that. I'm going to back up. The rats are scared. Now, they are leaving the ships. We have all these other topics that I won't go into of their escape plans and where they're already living. There's multi-million dollar missile silos that have been turned into condominiums, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, Dan, and this is what I really believe in my soul, my gut, is they are going to pull something huge, and it's going to happen before the end of the year, and it's going to happen to offset the midterm elections. because the midterm elections to me is fourth quarter, 10 seconds, and you and I are on the micro yard line with the best quarterback and the best receiver, and they know that. And if we score a touchdown in the midterm elections here, which I think we will, they are going to do everything they can do to turn the lights out, to have some kind of catastrophic event in said stadium. And I'm back to what you said. I will never get comfortable. Even if we win this, I'm never going to be comfortable. I am always on my guard. I'm not a paranoid man. I'm a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm ready to go. And that's why I pray hard for your meeting this weekend, because I, in my gut, feel, and I look forward to hearing your reaction after said meeting, because I think that's going to be a pivotal point. And I don't mean to pry, but sounds like you have some pretty grounded people that you may be meeting with this weekend.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of things happening behind the scenes in that regard as well. I'm privileged to be in a what you want to call the nexus or the central point. And I can see Father's hand at work here, so I'm looking forward to it a lot. Let's bring Henry back on. Henry's hit the button, and I think he's got some more to add. Go ahead, Henry.
Oh, that was actually a while ago. But just following up on what Jimmy just said as far as this midterm election, I also have to agree with him. That has to be a pivotal point in time in history, because I absolutely agree that we're not going to lose. I mean, the Republicans are not going to lose the House. But and when that happens and the Democrats don't take over, I agree. This is going to have to. They're going to do something really nasty. They just have to. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be as big as 9/11 or what they got up their sleeve. But
let me
wait for something.
Yeah, well, let me inject something here, all right? Yeah, that's true. They are going to plan to do something. They've already done things, okay? They attempted to shoot the Air Force One out of the sky. They've already done that.
Maybe this time their plan will be foiled.
That's the point I'm trying to make. If anybody thinks for one second... Again, I'm assuming the White Hats exist because everything's telling me that they do. If the White Hats exist, I'm going to tell you, the White Hats know what they're up to. They know how they work. They're like Joe Cortina that we've interviewed on this radio program. He was a commander in the Special Forces. Joe saw how they do things firsthand. And does anybody out there actually think that Joe doesn't talk to some of the guys that he used to be in the service with? That he doesn't stay in touch with officers and all that are in either active duty or retired? I'm sure he's part of that.
See, therein lies the White Hats. And real quick, Dan, you know, the JFK thing, and I have friends that are retired that actually were tasked to look into the JFK matter and the 9/11 matter. And first of all, regardless of anything that happened at 9/11, how in the frick did Building 7 crash on its own footprint, without being touched? But at the end of the exercise, here's my comment. If, in fact, Air Force One would have been blown out of the sky, it would be blamed on the Russians because they've got the American people conditioned. But here's the good news, and I'll yield. The American people aren't going to buy it. The American people are now going to say, okay, we have had enough of this bullshit, and there is going to be the physical civil war. We have a virtual civil war going on right now, and I won't elaborate that and waste our time. It's obvious. We have Maxine Waters stirring up shit, this, that, and the other. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll yield. If Mr. Trump's life is taken, this country will definitely Yes, yes, sir, and I yield. Thanks, Dan. Sorry to interrupt.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah, no,
well,
no doubt about
am
it.
I wrong, or am I
No,
out there?
You are not wrong. I've been thinking that exact same thing for a while now. It will absolutely explode. If his life is taken, this will be an all-out civil war. There's no doubt about it.
Well,
I'll be right there with him.
Yeah, let's remember something. Okay, let's remember something. If they attempt to do something, first of all, they tip their hands, and it will become an all-out war at that point. All right, the White Hats, even if the White Hats don't exist, there's an awful lot of Americans who have military training like I do and some of you do, that we know who's who, and we know who the bad guys are. And let me remind you of something. What happened when they tried to shut down Donald at his different campaigns, like up in Cleveland? All right, what happened was thousands of veterans of police departments and the military, because I'm a motorcycle rider with veterans as well. Thousands upon thousands went up there and said, no, you're not going to get that. You guys try to disrupt his campaign here at the stadium in Cleveland, and you are not going to like what's going to happen. They basically threatened them. Okay? So that's just a campaign. What do you think's going to happen if they try to pull our country down or our president down with something more serious? It won't. You know what Q said recently? Q said very soon it's not going to be safe for them on the streets. Right there. Right there. They said it. If these people don't wake up soon and repent and back off, it won't be safe for them on the streets. You can see that. You can see that coming. That's what I predict. If they try anything, and I'm not saying they're not planning on it. Of course they're planning on it. They planned on you and I going to camps. They planned on killing people like you and I. I know what they got planned, but I'm going to trust
Indeed.
What Scripture says. Scripture
Indeed.
Says everything the Antichrist has planned will be turned around on them only double. That's what the prophets told us. Everything they have planned will turn around on them double.
But the only way that will happen is if the men, no offense to the ladies of this country, come together, which is circling back. Do I believe there are white hats? You bet your sweet bippy I do. I've been preaching about white hats for years. People say, oh, Jimmy, there's no white hats. You know what, Dan? You just nailed it. You and I have friends in places that I have never been. I'm an electrical engineer. I'm a software guy. I'm a computer guy. I'm a systems guy. I'm an electronics design guy. But I have a lot of friends that have served in grunt positions right up onto high-end, like you said, Q clearances. I had my clearance when I had my banking business. And I'll tell you what, Dan, my little treehouse here in Tampa and across the country, we're talking. That's why we're going to be watching what you guys do this weekend. The white hats do exist. What I've said, even on one of the first times I appeared on your show, is all I need is a badge or some type of
authority.
Thank you. Authorization, I was going to say, but authority to go out there and arrest Hillary, arrest these treasonous punks, all of them. And, you know, my background in the early days was banking systems. And that's why, hence, bank versus you and blah, 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 blah. At the end of the exercise, the white hats do exist. The problem with the white hats, they're like sea monkeys. And I don't mean that with disrespect. When you order sea monkeys, what do you have to do? You have to add water to activate them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean sea monkeys as I'm using an analogy. Well, the sea monkeys have been activated, Dan and Henry and others that are listening, We need the authority to do this legally, peacefully, constitutionally. And by the way, we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, which gives us the badge that I so pray will arrive by FedEx in the morning. And what that I yield. I hope I made my point.
Well, here's the other thing we have to remember is that each state is sovereign. And I don't give a crap what the fake news and the bought-off historians and all that try to tell you that's not true, that, you know, the Supreme Court has said that the states must yield to the federal government. My ass. We formed the federal government. We formed our states first. They were colonies. The states have their own constitutions. The states have their own independent government. The states can form their own banks. The states can secede from this union. They have
You
the right.
said two key points, Mr. Dan. We can form our own banks, and we can get out of the union, which is back to the union dues that the steel workers paid. And the state of Florida, the state of Texas is really, I've got a lot of listeners and constituents in the state of Texas, more so than the state of Florida. And you know what I say to California?
Hmm.
Go F yourself.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, we've got to start getting ourselves deprogrammed. I wish Richard Masker was still alive. I used to interview him all the time. He was a conspiratologist. He was the founder of the International Conspiratology Association out there in Washington State. And he was a master deprogrammer. He used to go to police departments and government buildings and hold classes on the art of deprogramming people, all right, getting them to realize that they have been brainwashed and to get past the brainwashing. And his interviews were phenomenal because he would teach some of the techniques on the show. So I wish he was still here, but if people could go to my archives and look up any of the interviews with Richard Masker, it is an eye-opener extraordinaire because the principles he talked about way back then are certainly applicable today, and the American people need to get over this mind-numbing propaganda that God is no longer here and government is our new God. That's ridiculous. Absolutely and
utterly
ridiculous. It's idolatry.
Yes, and, you know, Mr. Trump's appearance last night, which I carried on my show, and I had two of my female, I'll call them reporters, but they're friends, and they were in the area, and a couple of my buddies from CENTCOM were there, and he said kind of the same thing. You know, people need to understand what a republic is. Our senators are our spokesmen, just like in my company, Dan, just like you. I might have, you know, I have 32 employees, and they do their job. They don't need to check with me, but if they get in a quagmire or, Hey, Jim, that's what a senator or a governor or a mayor or even a sheriff is supposed to be. And we've lost that focus, Dan. And even last night, DeSantis, you know, I had my staff meeting this morning. I'm not a fan of Rick Scott, but he's a Republican, so I have to go with him. But DeSantis said, you know, if you vote me in to rule, as soon as he said the word rule, you know, I had to go make a Bloody Mary because you're not there to rule.
Right.
You're there to listen. You're
right.
There to listen to your constituents. I mean, we might have, Dan, if you and I were a senator, we're going to hear 360 degrees squared by pi of ideas. And it's up to us and our staff to take in what the people want and really understand what the people want and make sure it makes sense for the masses. And I know that's, we can't discuss that in the next 10 seconds. But at the end of the day, when he said that, I'm like, you're not there to rule. Same with the Supreme Court. Oh, the ruling from the courts. And you know I'm in the legal profession and my real job. The judge is a referee. They're right. A referee. They're not there to rule. They're not there. They offer opinion, especially if we do jury trials. And when the judge overturns a jury, that's wrong.
Right.
Anyway, right. I won't go off on that rabbit hole, but when DeSantis said that last night, I have to vote for him because we need to keep the Republican momentum going. I get all that. But like I said in my staff meeting, and I'll yield after this, you know what? You're asking me to reach in a barrel and pull out one of the two rattlesnakes that could kill me, and I got to pull out the Republican rattlesnake.
Well,
isn't
here
that
again,
a shame,
yeah,
Dan?
Yeah, but here again, it gets back to the same thing Q has been talking about, the powers with the people. And that Trump even made that part of his campaign, returning power to this country back to the people, not to senators, not to governors, not to representatives, not to judges, not to lawyers, not to bankers. No, they work for us. If they work against us, they need to be either in a prison or hanging from the end of a rope. But,
well, how is it, sir, that the term, title, senator, first of all, carries a preamble of honorable, because there are employees. And
right.
The fact is, if everything was a perfect world, I would conduct my business in the community knowing that I have a representative, not some honorable pile of dog shit that is only interested. How in the world, Dan, can these guys go in at $280,000 a year and come out millions and billionaires? I mean,
right.
Come on, people. Do the
right.
math.
I'll
send you a damn calculator. Anyway, I yield. I'm not getting aggressive. I'm just saying the time has come to change the tide. And our POTUS last night gave one of the most impressive speeches, and maybe even speech isn't it. I'm sure he had speech writers. And real quick, if you guys haven't heard this, I recommend you go watch a speech, and I call your attention to about a 30-second piece and about the end of his presentation where people say, I'm not presidential. And he actually mocks what he denounces as presidential. You know, he got all stiff and grabbed the microphone. And I'll tell you what, we need to find a way to not only stand behind our POTUS, Dan, but your group. We, and I'm part of your group, but I'm saying your gentlemen that are about to meet this weekend, and I'm praying for you guys, we've got to find a way to reach out to POTUS and say, hey, here's our accolades, here's our resumes, here's our clearances. We need you to empower us and your group this weekend to assimilate with you to get this job done, Dan. We can do this. We can. And I yield.
Well, that's why we covered the prayers. Unlike the politicians, we're all about doing what we do to be in the will of our Heavenly Father. That's my biggest thing against the political people, the racialists, the libertarians, and everybody else. They got part of it right, but they leave the racial and biblical side of it out. And we're about the whole package. So even if the White Hats exist, if they're outside the biblical parameters, then they're not going to succeed totally either. So that's where we come in, because we are his ambassadors, whether we like it or not. Take a look around. Who's going to do it? If it's not us, who is it? Somebody tell me who it is. I'm waiting to hear. I'm waiting to hear. If it's not us, and I'm certainly willing to back off, if you can find somebody who better represents Yahweh, then please tell me. If you got
Dan, I'm honored, and I'm honored to be a representative of Yahweh on the 360-degree circle of everything. Life, humanity, business, government, what the hell's right and wrong, education, get rid of these damn school boards, get rid of Common Core, which came up a lot last night, which I really liked. And real quick, see, this is how they sell this bullshit on us. No child left behind. Well, I don't have any kids by loin, but I have a lot of kids, or a lot of friends that have kids. I'm godfather to two kids. And at first glance, Dan, no child left behind. What would you assume that that meant? It didn't mean fast-tracking them through the process and getting paid for 250 stupid tests that the school boards get paid for. It doesn't mean entrapping, hell, my parents. I've got 2.5 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying 99% of the kids, you and I are about the same age, plus or minus, they go to Harvard, they go to Berkeley, they go to wherever, name it. They sit down with a guidance counselor. They get sold into these student loans. They have the fun of college. They buy the books. They go through maybe 2 chapters of a 200-chapter book. They do the Papa Keg of Bud fraternity. And they come out, and there's no jobs. And they're strapped. That's by design, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here I go preaching again, Dan. You're the pastor, but hey, see, this is the kind of bullshit that's got to stop. And Trump can't do it all by himself. We got to get rid of these school boards. Hey, I did research just today, if you want to indulge me. The average school board member here in Pinellas and Hillsborough County, their salary is averaged at $250,000 a year. Yeah, yeah. Now, they've got to justify that, just like I'm in real estate law, like a homeowners association. Their job is, they don't give a freaking rat's ass about your kids. Their job is to sell testing to a third-party company that gets $250 per child, which is why the Parkland scam has come out. They're not arresting kids for crimes. I mean, I've got the flow chart on my computers. And you know what, Dan? You know what a flow chart is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an ugly vine. All you have to do is cut off one or two feeder legs, and the rest of it dies. Why in the world is Hillsborough County and Pinellas County, which are my two in my jurisdiction, we're paying those people, do the math. There's 14 on Hillsborough and 16 in Pinellas. Do the rough math. Doing what? I say we fire them all and bring back the frickin' PTA. Let's engage the parents. Let's
right.
make the parents the school board. It might sound like I'm running for office and a lot of people want me to. No. I'm more powerful on this side of the microphone. But you see where I'm going with that? and we could turn that back around. You know how many people I'm going to shut up after this? Even Target, it had a special 36-hour sale for teachers only. Oh, we know teachers, you know, dig in their own pockets to buy pencils and paper and notebooks and finger paint for their kids. So we're going to give them a 15% off. Dan, I know that to be true. I used to date a teacher. They make $28,000 to $35,000 a year. And if they even look the wrong way at a student right now in my two jurisdictions, they face lawsuit. Anyway, I know I kind of went off on a sidetrack there, but see, this is the kind of crap we have to get in there, clean it up. We need to fire these assholes. Fire them.
Well,
I mean, Dan. I yield because you get my point. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the thing. We got to keep it simple. The KISS principle, okay? The simple thing
what
is
that, sir? Keep it simple, stupid. Thank you.
Yeah. Keep
Go
it
ahead,
simple,
man.
Stupid. So yeah. Here it is. The KISS principle. Okay. You got to bring this down to the bottom level to where everybody can understand it, even if they've only got a sixth grade education. Bottom level. God's law. Now, how does that solve the problem we were just discussing? Well, number one, you got to stop worshiping government like a god. It's not a god. You decide the education of your child. You decide your health care. You decide your retirement, if you want one, and what it will be. Government doesn't have jurisdiction. Period. That was the big mistake we made. Just like when the Obamacare thing came out. Did you see how they twisted the narrative? When they first started talking about
it. Oh, yeah, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
No, it started because guys like me, the very first thing I said was, government doesn't have any jurisdiction. But the very first thing they did was to get us to start arguing about this plan versus that plan. Oh, my
right.
God, you don't want that terrible Obama plan. Make sure you vote for this. Wait a minute. Why are we voting for either plan?
It was marketing, which
exactly.
I detest. Go ahead, sir.
They turned the narrative around to where we no longer talked at all about whether government even had a right to be in healthcare, to arguing about which plan we should pick. Do you see how they did that? And we, like little children, allowed them to divert our attention away, and we got saddled with legislation. But here's what we should have said.
It was called the Delphi technique, sir, but go ahead. Yep.
Well, it's the point is still the same. It gets back to idolatry. We've got to stop worshiping goddamn government like a freaking god.
Amen. Go, brother, go. You're on track. I'm sorry.
Stay focused.
Yeah.
Government has no right in drugs. It has no right in banking. It has no right in rearing our children. It has no right in health care. It has no right what we do with our bodies. None.
Yeah.
That's where we need to stay focused. Government needs to be pared down to about 1,000th the size it is today. Little tiny local government with even a smaller central government, namely a monarch. A monarch.
Oh, Dan, I equate to business. I equate to business. You know what? We're a small 40-year-old law firm. And I also have my software business that I commingle our employees because they're great people, this, that, and the other. But my point to that is those 40 people get a shit pile of things done on different avenues. And I'm going to give you a standing applause. Government is so big. I mean, just real quick, let me run down the flow chart. You know, Supreme Court in Oregon states that some guy can't release his plans for a laser-printed gun. All this stand your ground bullshit that's going on here. You know what? You push me down in a parking lot, I'm gonna drop you. I have a concealed carry. But I'm the other guy that'll see an older lady that's counting pennies at the checkout, and I'll wink at the cashier, and I'll buy her damn groceries. I mean, people, we have got to wake the F up.
Right.
And hit the reset button. And Dan, I know I got you riled up, and you got me riled up, but, brother, see, if the thing is, we have a lot of people that agree with us, and I'm going to circle back and yield. We need the authorization.
From who?
Well, we already have it from our father.
Right.
Except, you know, and I've said it on your air, and I'll say it now. The FBI has been in my studio more than twice because of comments that I've made on my shows. And I wouldn't hurt a flea, Pastor Dan. I would not hurt a flea unless they are the enemy. And I don't mean to sound all Russian and all communist. You know, I attacked Fannie Mae. I sent two love letters up to Oregon to the prosecution on the Bundy case. That got me my second visit. My last visit was I attacked the gay pride parade right here in my jurisdiction because, A, we spent $300,000 of tax money on their mental illness, and our mayor thinks it's cool to raise the rainbow flag on my courthouse, on my city hall. And when I say my, I'm 58 years old. I damn near run for city council down there. These people are nut fucking bags. Frickin' bags. And I'm sorry. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I don't care what you do in your bedroom. I really don't. But when you spend my tax money and you have a parade on my streets in St. Petersburg and Tampa and Miami and Orlando, I mean, Dan, that article, my comment, I had FBI here. I had news channels here. They wanted me to be the next guy to go down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it didn't happen. And I'm
right.
Just going to go live here. And it really, I would not ever go out in public and do some bullshit, some stupid bullshit. But at the end of the exercise, our county and city collectively spent $300,000. The parents brought their kids out. We've got 350-pound men in tutus throwing beads at the kids, and moms and dads giving the kids $10 to go tuck in these fat-ass faggots' pants. That's wrong. I'm sorry. That's wrong. I will not stand by and let that encroach our community any longer. And I damn near got arrested. Damn near.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway,
well,
I wanted to share that. I'm not.
Right.
Yeah, and you know firsthand, you and I talked about that. Anyway, I didn't mean to go off too far, but people need to hear real-life experiences. If I'm taking flack, you're taking flack, Henry's taking flack. I hate to say it, but that's good news.
Well, that's exactly right. Everything we're talking about is indicative of a war. You've got a war going on. Now, right now, it's what they call a soft war. There's not a huge body count. There is a body count, but it's not huge. And that's where people are lulling themselves into a false state of security, thinking that this war is going to affect everybody else but not them. There used to be an old saying, you don't know there's a tyranny until you come up against it. And as soon as you come up against it, you get your eyes open, as many of my family did when a member of my family went against Child Protective Services because based on an anonymous phone call, they went through a year of pure hell because of one anonymous phone call. So did they get a wake-up call? You better believe they did. And so it, you know, and I got to be honest, I had a wake-up call. It wasn't me directly, but somebody very close to me opened my eyes to just how bad the tyranny was, and that was back in 1998. So that had a lot to do with this radio show. Eventually, it had a lot to do with it because I decided that my country was dead. My country was gone. The country I grew up learning about in school and living in the 50s and 60s was gone.
And wow, so you're saying that you're the seed that went in the ground that started your radio show is the same germination as mine. You didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, I think I want to jump on a microphone and talk to the world. You were motivated, much like Bank versus You. That was a foreclosure mess, which is what spawned that. But are you suggesting, Dan, and we're all being honest here, and I'm not saying you should say anything you don't want to, but I'm not going to hide anything. I'm sick and tired of this. I started Bank versus You over the foreclosure mess and all the banking bullshit. And I'm hearing from you, if I may clarify, that you kind of had the same kind of start. It's like, screw it. I'm going to go and I'm going to get vocal and I'm going to educate by my microphone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Amen, yes. Brother. God bless you.
Yes.
Yahweh bless you. Yes.
It, up until that point, I educated basically one-on-one, maybe small groups of people, occasionally groups of 20 to 25 when possible, but never more than that. And so when this went down in 1998 and I saw how corrupt the courts were, how corrupt the cops were, how corrupt the system is, how little they care about the Constitution, they don't even give one rat's ass about what's in the Bible. They just laugh at you when you bring that
up. Oh, hell no. Think you're a nutbag. You're a nutbag.
So,
yeah.
You know, that and the identity message together. When you put those two together, it was, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Am I going to sit here and watch it disintegrate? Or am I going to try to do something about this? And that's
Amen.
Where it all, you know, Father opened the doors. Here's the thing. You bring up a good point. A lot of people I know are saying that. What do I do? How can I help? Blah, blah, blah. It starts with a changed heart. And just like with Jimmy and with me, when we saw up close and personal the evil, it became absolutely essential that it had to be fought. Therefore, it was what? A change of heart. And as soon as Father recognized that change of heart, guess what? The doors started flying open. Not until then. Not until that conscious decision of, I'm not going to sit on my ass anymore. I've got to do something to fix this. I've got to educate my people. I have to do something to stop this evil that's pervading my country. And as soon as Father heard that prayer, things start rolling. And that's why my prayer for this weekend is the way it is. These men are going to get together with the proper hearts and the proper attitudes and come together in the name of the Father and ask for his guidance on what to do next. And then just keep an open mind and wait and see what kind of doors open up.
You nailed it, Dan. And you know what, sir? The first time, and it's been the same two guys that have come here. And you know what? I got to be fair, especially the last visit. They know I'm right. And they have every time they've left, Jimmy, you just need to tone it down. Tone it down. But at the end of the day, Dan, and I'm going to be honest, I've talked to Dan off air because the last one did throw a very concerning thing up because of my other businesses. It was like, oh boy, I really stepped over this time. But at the end of the day, Dan, I've taken our channel down. I've been live for 4.5 years on Bank versus You without fail of a day, except for those occasions. And I took the channel down, and I'm like, you know what, Jim? Are you doing the right thing? And those that know me know that I lost the love of my life a couple years ago to cancer. Kim was my co-host here. She was as ballsy as we are. And the most perfect lady I've ever been with in my life, and I miss her like nobody's business. But at the end of the day, this last episode, it really, I was down for about 6 hours. I didn't broadcast. A lot of my listeners know that I'm always on air, whether it's a loop overnight or I'm always live. Always man in my chat room and mostly running educational or current events like Sergeant Report and X-22, blah, 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 blah. But my point is I could not stay away from this, Dan, and it wasn't ego because I've never taken a dime. I don't have a donate button. I don't have a problem with those that do. In fact, I've donated to a lot of other broadcasters. But, Dan, our father pushed me back in this very room that I'm in right now, and I sent you a graphic, and said, Jimmy, and I might get a little emotional here, you will go back on air. You will go back on air. You will not cower. And here we are.
This is the fight we're in, and we just have to do it smartly. That's all. I think Father was just trying to tap you on the shoulder and remind you that we're to be as wise as the serpent and as innocent as the dove. The serpent has a lot of fangs. Good guys are trying to chop those fangs off one at a time, and maybe Yahweh will bless us with being able to take the head off this beast in the near future. Right now,
well, I have a good friend, and I know you know who he is, that said, Jim, you can't be firing your weapons at the tentacles. You got to come back and regroup and fire at the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know who that man was? Yes or no, that's all. And that was my gear shift that started the engines,
mm-hmm.
and let me go back on air. That's why I'm so interested in hearing how you guys make out this weekend. I'll be praying for you, Pastor Dan. And with that, sir, I yield. And thanks for having me on your show tonight. You are one of my new best friends, brother.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. It's my honor, and anything to help our people with information, with encouragement, with advice, suggestions, to be a sounding board, whatever it takes to help our people. Our people are suffering right now, whether it's economic, whether it's through the health, whether it's through the intrusion of government in every facet of our life. Our people are basically back in Egypt under bondage, and waiting for Father to, I personally think, raise up a leader that our people can look up to, whether it be like a Moses, a King David, Joshua, Abraham, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Well, Pastor Dan, I pray for empowerment. And I'm a pretty powerful guy. I don't cower very much. But when you jeopardize my freedom, over a First Amendment comment, I do tend to kind of rear back and say, hey, am I risking the farm? But that made me stronger. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, I pray each night for clients that I still represent that are, you know, probably going to bed tonight worried as shit, and we're doing the best we can for them. But when I pray each night and each morning, and even when I get a pinnacle, you know, when I got cleared over this last one, I looked up at Kim's angel is swinging on the drawstring of my ceiling fan right over my face right now on the studio board that I sent you the picture of. And I looked up and I said, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I touched the fire. I made it. You know, I'm Scottish. And I'm Swedish and Scottish. I get my heart from my mom and my boss from my dad. My dad was Scottish, obviously. And I did step over the line, and it was not to be aggressive. It was because I'm sick and tired of seeing people hurt. I learned. It empowered me, and in my prayers, to circle back to my comment and I'll yield, I pray for the strength and the empowerment to take this to the next level and be successful. It's kind of like the old days of the football games or when I played Little League. We used to have a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a fair game. Let's, you know, nobody get hurt. All the right stuff. And I'm going to yield, but I hope we close with a prayer tonight, Dan. And I cannot thank you enough for including me in your broadcast. You know, I tried to call in at the last second. I wasn't sure if you were going to go 2 hours tonight or whatever. That's why I sent you a message. Feel free to open my mic. I am here. I have a lot to offer. And I certainly pray for your summit this weekend, Pastor Dan. I look forward to the report when you feel it's appropriate, sir. And with that, I yield the microphone, and thank you so much for having me on your broadcast this evening.
That's my honor, Jimmy, and thanks for being here with us, and Yahweh bless you and all your efforts. We're going to close with prayer. It's 2.5 hours. That's a long time. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity, the technology you provided, the friendships, the networking that we've accomplished, that we're able to come together as a group, as a family, that we can share our information, we can learn line upon line and precept upon precept, and then put all the pieces together and present this information and this guidance to our brothers and sisters. Every one of them out there that I talk to on a daily basis is suffering and having to deal with issues, and it's just amazing to me. At this time, with as much money and as much blessings that have been poured out on this nation, that there's people still suffering from some of the most insidious things that could easily be overcome if we had righteousness in our rulers. Instead, as the Proverbs tell us, when the righteous rule, the people laugh, and when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And our people are mourning right now. They're groaning under this wicked system that we find ourselves. So we pray for you to guide us, lead us, give us a stiff backbone, give us good discernment. And as the men of Jacob Israel come together this weekend, seeking your guidance and seeking out each other to reach out in fellowship and to bond together as a team, to go forward and do great things in your name, Father, and to reclaim this land for you and for our Savior, Yahshua. And we ask again that you be with us to do this, to help us accomplish it, and open doors for us. But most of all, give us the strength and make us be warriors in your name, and keep us radamantine in all things that we do. And we ask and pray in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Yahweh bless. Amen, Pastor Dan.
Amen, brother. Talk to you next time.